Okay, welcome everybody to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, Tuesday, February 11th, legal counsel update at 2 p.m. We are February 11th, 2020. Item one is contract with Lucas J. Main Construction for Fairgrounds Arena Renovations Phase 2, which I assume someone's going to talk about. Mr. Ryan?
Probably more of a Q&A. This is the contract. We had put out an RFP to get the siding replaced and some demolition work done on the arena. We ended up getting two bids. It's a contract with Lucas Main Construction for they're the low bid. So we'd like to proceed with the project.
How much was the high bid?
High bid was $367,000, I believe. So I'm not sure how they got to that number. The current bid is $164,000 and change. And that came right in the ballpark with the estimate from the architect.
Questions from the commissioners?
The question is probably more of a statement. We met with some scheduling issues that we had because of the time frame and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Met with the contractor this morning and able to work through that with Tamara Martin was there, fair director, and I think we're going to be able to stay with that.
Yep.
That schedule. We'll have some, you know, some change orders, kind of, I don't know what we call it, change order, whatever. That's what I want to talk to you about. Okay. Refer to that. But it looks like working with moving, Tamara was very gracious in moving some of the high school things out, hopefully, to give more access to, greater access of time-wise for the contractor. And he said, yeah, I can deal with that. So I think we're going to be okay. There's a lot of logistics, and, you know, there was a lot of angst floating around here yesterday, you know, between everybody. And I just want to say, you know, from me, I'm the liaison to both facilities and to fairgrounds. And, boy, these two were at each other pretty good yesterday. But you know what? I just thought about this morning drinking a cup of coffee. They both were doing their job, and they were doing exactly what we as the board asked them to do. First off, get that job done. Get the job done. Get that thing built. Let's get things rolling. You march ahead with that. Same time, we're telling Tamara, make that fairgrounds work. Make that fairgrounds pay for itself. So she's busy, you know, putting all the stuff together, doing exactly what we asked her to do. Two high-functioning directors, and I saw them both in action at the same time. Too bad they were on the same track. So, but we're working out. Really good exchange. Met with the contractor. You know, having been in contracting, I think he demonstrated professionality to me and touching all the bases and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. I know we got a couple letters. We got a letter. But I think if you look at that letter and couple it with the request for proposal, a lot of that stuff was answered. So I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with the schedule. You know, I don't think it's something that we want to postpone until next year, because that's basically what would have happened is if we couldn't come to some kind of agreement to get this thing done, you know, before summertime and fair and whatnot, it wasn't going to happen until after November, and that would put it back into next year. We would have had to start all over, rebid the whole thing and go from there. But I think I'm satisfied with it, so that's just my 2 cents worth. It's not a question. It's more of a statement. But thank you, Chairman.
Bet. I noticed there's no penalties if they don't make that deadline, so yeah. Just on good faith, I guess, is what we're going on. And if it's not completed by that date, what's the plan? Are we just going to stop?
Well, a portion of it, the staining of the siding, was actually planned to be out into, I think it's June, July.
By when the temperature...
and so we'll push whatever's existing that didn't get completed to that same time period. It sounds like that'd be the best.
That would come in the form of an addendum,
yep,
or a change order,
right?
So
if it didn't,
so
yeah,
really tight schedule, and that's why we didn't include any kind of penalties, or because else, we wouldn't have got any bids probably.
Well, and in looking up this contractor's past, I couldn't find any prevailing wage. I couldn't find any workers' comp. I couldn't find anything but residential permits pulled by this person. And so I have serious concerns about their qualifications to do this job, especially at this price.
Okay.
Prevailing wage is a very daunting moment for a contractor. I know 5 years ago when I moved from not doing prevailing and staying away from it completely and moved into it, there was a huge learning curve.
Right.
And so I have some serious reservations. Commissioner Moore?
And I know we received a letter from a potential bidder that chose not to, and I think I would ask, could we maybe consider, like, kind of like emergency management does with natural disasters or storms and those kind of events, like an after-action kind of review of what went well, what didn't, what can we improve upon, what can we learn from, or whatever. So when we get feedback from somebody in the community that suggests that it maybe didn't meet a requirement or a criteria in their opinion, could we maybe set aside from the job and say, okay, what are they saying? How's that play, and how would that impact be?
Yeah, I'd be happy to address, you know, what was referenced in the letter.
Well, I don't necessarily mean it that way. I'm thinking more of a opportunity to say, okay, let's reflect. What are they saying? Is there something that we need to be doing mindfully in our bid process or RFQ or RFP processes and all that kind of stuff? That is there something that can we learn from it is all. And I'm not saying we did anything wrong, because we have a contract, obviously, that's presented. But is there a learning opportunity after the fact to say, should we consider these things moving forward? Should we take into consideration other stuff and just in our process?
I think the biggest issue with all the contractors that were going to bid that chose not to was we had a big holdup on getting all the specifications together. And then once we had them, it became a real rush to actually put the bids out, get the bids back. And then once that happens, then they had this tight timeline to actually get the work done. So for various reasons, different contractors chose not to bid. Some of their reasoning, not 100% accurate. The contractor, we've thoroughly checked his workers' comp. He has did some large-scale projects. With good feedback, no prevailing wage, so this would be at least no documented prevailing wage that he provided.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll be watching that and for certified payroll and so forth.
Yeah. One clerical, my name's spelled wrong, but it's okay. I can sign it different.
Right. Further discussion?
Tried DeYoung explaining that 900 million times in your 70s. I think you make a really good point, and maybe something as simple as a pre-bid conference with all parties involved. The big thing that happened here was just communication. It was. You're doing your job, you're doing your job, and that you two really didn't sit down and talk. And I think a pre-bid conference with, as we had this morning, you know, I think that would be so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, okay, what's the actual scope of this work? What's the timeline? What's the time frame? What events do we have to jockey around? What do we really do? What is your expectation of that arena that, oh, you just assumed it was going to be completely empty, and you assumed they were going to work around? So I think, you know, just something, it might be as simple as that.
Yeah.
This is a pretty good-sized project for what counties generally get involved in without having a consultant do everything or whatever. If this is a big, you know, if we were building the YMCA again or something, you certainly wouldn't take that on. We'd farm that out. So I think you make a really valid point. I certainly don't want to see something like this happen again, because I think we're above that. And we work too well together. I just think that on this particular one, there was a lot of assumptions made by a lot of people, and when all of a sudden the assumptions came down to the last 11th hour, we go, oops. And now we've really got to start scrambling to get this thing done and make it happen. But I thought today's little meeting, I think, was a really good example of how you can just sit down and say, okay, we've got a problem. Are we going to sit here and dwell on it? Are we going to put that behind us and let's move forward? And I think that was very, I was encouraged today. I was encouraged a lot by personally by these two's performance in the presence of a contractor. You certainly did not make him feel uncomfortable, like he didn't want to work for us. That's some of the risks you got to take. I don't want to work with them. You know, they don't. I thought that was handled very well, very professional by both of you, and I appreciate that. That's just fine. That's
sure. Further discussion?
I would. You guys are here. Is there anything we would ask that they add to the conversation?
The Fair Board Director and maybe Chair? Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
I know we're excited to move forward, and I think that we worked out what needed to be worked out this morning and came up with a plan that would get the job done. So, you know, that's really what's ultimately important. We all wanted the same thing. We just had to figure out the path to get there.
Okay. Anyone else? Do you want to... Let's see, I guess this was placed on the Cave Junction agenda tomorrow night, or...
Right.
We could vote today.
I would say tomorrow night.
I'd say tomorrow night.
Deliberately, yeah. We knew it was a shorter timeline, so we put it on both agendas.
Yeah.
In anticipation that you'd want.
I think that would be the best way to do it.
Okay.
For tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Do we need a motion, or we'll just deal with it on the docket tomorrow?
Yeah, it's on the agenda, so I think you're...
Sounds good.
Do you need me at the meeting tomorrow night? Or
what's that?
Do you want me at the meeting tomorrow night? Or?
Do you like it? Drive to Cave Junction? I don't think so. But if you'd like, let's do that. If you don't mind, I think it'd be good to answer any questions. No?
I can't. I'm sorry.
You can't? Well, I'm talking to...
Okay, good.
Opportunity to get a pound of jerky while you're out.
All right. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I get the pepperoni sticks with the cheese in it.
No, I'd be happy to be there if there's any
okay,
questions.
Okay, I think that'd be good. That meeting starts at
5:30.
5:30, so it's a little earlier than normal. And it's in this Cave Junction City Hall.
Okay.
Okay, do we know what part of the agenda he's on? Number three. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very
Sounds
much.
Good. Thanks, Ryan.
So do you need a motion?
Thanks, Tim.
No,
we'll do that tomorrow night?
Okay.
Yep. All right. We'll move it forward.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Okay, item two is a draft letter to U.S. Forest Service referencing road access.
Yep, so this harkens back to a discussion of late last year, based on citizen, or early this year, either way, some recent months. A citizen expressed a concern to county government about being blocked. His mining claim was reported to be blocked by the U.S. Forest Service, and he was not getting that concern addressed by the federal agency. And so where we left off was we had a good look at the map up on the screen there and went back and considered the options that the county would have. And this is the one I think that is most viable. And so I'll give everyone a moment to take a look at the letter.
So the citizen approached me on December 6th, I think, if that was the first Friday in December. And so that kind of started the discussion.
Yeah.
And I verbally spoke with Forest Supervisor Merv George, and he had referred me to Matt...
District Ranger Pichorek.
Thank you, Pichorek. That was the word I was trying to remember how to say correctly. And I don't have his contact. I need to follow up with getting his contact information as far as... But I think this letter would suffice to get it done.
The letter doesn't deliberately ask Merv George to kind of contact. It just says, looking forward to hearing from the Forest Service and dialogue with the Forest Service. So it would leave it within his discretion from the county's perspective.
I think this is exactly what we were looking for. He was asking for the county to come alongside and assist. Matter of fact, the other claims in the area, the basic wording was, we're going to wait for them to show up and make a claim, and it's like, that's not okay. So this would... Unless one of you guys want to be the point of contact, I'm willing to, and I'd be willing to follow Matt Pichorek and with the letter.
Since you started it, you get to carry the water.
Okay.
if you don't mind.
No, that's
Sounded
fine.
Like an offer.
Yeah.
Great.
They did?
Looks good. Just got to fill in a couple spots.
Right.
Right.
As soon as it's ready, if we can get it signed, I can take it out to the valley with me. I have some meetings out there on Friday. I'd be happy to carry it.
Yep, we'll put it in the signature file. Maybe just move that this is a draft before it's approved. Put it in the signature file.
I make a motion that we have.
Is this the first that the U.S. Forest Service heard about this? Or did the miner, the claim operator, has he gone to the U.S. Forest Service? Hey,
correct.
It's blocking my road or anything?
They talked to
Pichorek.
They talked to Pichorek directly, but also Robert, who goes to the mining meetings.
Schumacher,
thank you. He actually defended the miners and said, no, he's right what he's saying. We have to clear this out. And they cleared out the initial gates off of his portion, but there's further stuff they're trying to take out in the area, and there's other ones they didn't take out. So, and when I brought it up to Merv, it wasn't on his radar. So, but they have tried to go with Matt, and so this would give an opportunity to follow up with Matt and say, please
now
stop.
The owner of the local miner is not wanting them to build him a road into his claim or maintain or upgrade the road into his claim.
He wants access. He has the right and obligation to maintain.
But if it hasn't been looked at for a long time, if there's trees across it, he's going to take a saw and cut them out?
He doesn't have trees across it. They put a X bars across the front of it, right. So all of a sudden he couldn't access, and he's out there. Lives in the valley.
But said further on from that, there's more.
There's other claims in the areas. They put those same crossbar gates
across
other people's claims, and he asked them, are you notifying them that you're blocking their access? They said, nope, we're just going to wait for him to show up, and then they have to deal with it when they get here. And
we don't want another confrontation if we can get it done.
Correct.
And sometimes if you see some people up their chain of command, you could put some weight on it. And sometimes if you do that, you can throw flags where they don't need to be thrown. Have you considered if there's anyone else that should be included in this request on the U.S. Forest Service?
Casamasa, you mean?
I'm not sure. I don't know the structure.
I would say, and it might be appropriate to write the letter to Matt Pichorek as the district ranger for this area, and CC Mervin Casamasa, that might be the appropriate.
Okay. I think keep not having Matt in the loop. If I was Matt, I'd say, you didn't tell me anything about this, so I could try to fix it. You want to open my head.
And when I talked to Merv, he referenced me back to Matt. So I would say, let's give it to Matt and CC Mervin and Casamasa.
Casamasa.
I don't know, but Schumacher, maybe, as well?
Nah,
leave him out. Okay, Casamasa.
I see a head shake in the back of the room.
Got it.
Casamasa is over Washington and Oregon.
Okay.
So are we District 5 or 6 here?
Region
5. Region 6. The other one is just on the other side of the California border, so we're bordering both. So it's...
Gotcha.
That's why I can't remember if we're 5 or 6, because Happy Camp was one and we were the other with Klondike, so...
Sounds good.
I'm guessing.
Okay, sorry.
Any action to send that forward, or
he asked for a motion?
Okay,
I make a motion to send this forward, approve the letter, fill in the names, and go, and also include Matt Pichorek on the list.
Sending it to Matt.
Yeah. Send it to Matt.
I'll second your motion.
All right. Any further discussion?
Thank you.
Good work. Yes.
Sir. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The motion carries 3-0. And that was item 2.
Okay, look for that in your signature file.
Got me. Item 3 is draft coordination letters.
It's that time of year again.
I was just wondering about that this weekend.
So coincidentally, here we are, right?
Yeah.
Well, wanted to ask, so it's not, I think everyone's pretty familiar, but maybe not, but it's not
per se
a requirement for the county to do this. The requirement is on the federal entities. The county is not required to coordinate or to send in letters, but it has become an annual tradition, if you will, for the county to reach out to the federal partners and simply invite them to engage in coordination in the year to come. And so annually around in February, more or less, most years, the county, every year, I think since at least 2012, the county has been, the board has been sending coordination letters. And in that letter, typically, if there's a known change to the either the official coordination plan or particular information we want the federal partners to know about, the community, for example, last year's letter referenced changes in the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and that was something the board wanted the federal agencies to be aware of. So wanted to start that discussion today. First, just check in if the board wants to keep doing that, and if that's the case, then whether there's any particular information you'd like to see in the draft this year.
The minute you don't, they go, well, you didn't send us any letter requesting coordination. As soon as you drop the ball once, they go, well, I guess you're not interested anymore. I think it's very important to keep that up.
Okay. Well, and hasn't there been some examples where stuff has happened without the coordination of our local jurisdiction? Not just road closures, but there was one specific that I just can't remember. Like they came and asked for permission after they'd already done something. But
that was BLM.
Oh, okay. So I'm crossing the streams.
No, it's for both. I mean, they're both required to coordinate with us.
Right.
We send the letters to both agencies. But you're absolutely right. Commissioner DeYoung has talked about something he was working with ONC, and they went over there and they said, you're getting feedback on this bid from us. What's the status of the bid? Oh, we've already issued it. We've already selected the contractor.
Was it. Don't tell me. Let me guess. You've already let the bid. Oh, yeah.
This is part of our preemption.
You really have to shake your head and think, you know, are they really interested in coordination or not? So.
Gotcha.
So
I'm glad I can rely on Lily's memory.
Did you discuss that we do have a coordination plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so the weird thing about coordination, because you'll have a lot of people say they have to coordinate. We just need to coordinate. We got to defend our coordination, blah, blah, blah. We have this leg to stand on. But there's more to it. I mean, that's why we have a coordination plan, something they have to see if there's conflict. But what is the remedies if they don't coordinate? Or what are the options that we have if they don't? Or if it's not in conflict with our coordination plan, or even if it is in conflict with our coordination plan, what are our... We send this to say, please remember to do it, but what course of actions are available to us if they don't?
Of course, the most drastic... not to start with the most drastic, but to start lower down on the spectrum. So during any rule... proposed rule change at the federal and even state level, there is a window of time, 60 days mostly, when the objections or comments, the comment period, when objections along those lines can be filed. If the entity failed to coordinate in the process of crafting the rule and getting it to that point, then that would be the county's first opportunity to weigh in a formal way and potentially get that implementation suspended.
What would constitute a failure on their part? Not notifying us of public comment?
Yes.
I mean, they go ahead and make something up, and they didn't ever let us know that they were making that up?
I would say that it is. I would consider that a failure. Yeah, that would be something that the county would weigh in. Going even further, of course, the county is still in active litigation. We did have a favorable verdict in Washington, D.C. recently. But when you trace the root of that ONC-related lawsuit back, the fact that the county had expressed that it was dissatisfied with the federal government's lack of coordination, that did improve the county's posture in that lawsuit. We weren't a cooperating entity. We were a coordinating entity, and the county went out of its way, even in that era, in the 2013-14 era, to articulate that to the federal government. So that did bear some consequence to the federal government when the court ultimately threw out that entire resource management plan. So you follow what I'm saying there? So you do have, it does have some weight.
Okay. So I'd make a motion that we approve the coordination letters and send them out.
Second.
Any further discussion?
We haven't shown them the letter.
Well, we'll go ahead and
you already sent them out?
No, not ready yet.
That's what I'm thinking too, but I didn't want to. I mean, I don't want to assume too much, so that's why.
I'll bring it to you late. You know, I already sent it out.
Yeah. Sometimes we change it from year to year. I guess I didn't really clarify that point. And so, like I say, last year we included a line about how the Community Wildfire Protection Plan was now finalized and available. I don't know. I can't think of, we talked a bit, we can't seem to think of anything particular for this year, but I don't sit in on every discussion, and so wanted to at least start the wheels on that, and then we can go ahead and, we'll bring this back next week, and we'll have people get...
Do we have a deadline that we have to have that letter in?
Yeah, self-imposed. It's self-imposed, typically in February.
I would, let me look on my other device. Looking for details here. Maybe just keeping in line with some of the messaging that we're looking at, the right-of-ways remaining open.
Okay.
The fire suppression policies that they work with our wild or our integrated fire protection plan, that the road closures and right-of-ways, I guess, together with the coordination plans, and for them to also take into consideration the impacts of the fires and the WUIs.
Impacts of fires?
Yeah.
And the WUIs?
Financial.
Wildland-urban interface, yeah. It's just so for the sake of keeping those roads open, keeping the access of the right-of-ways so we can access and get to and not let them burn.
Okay.
Keeps our letter fresh.
You're right.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, letters.
Thank you,
Len. That old letter's shaping up to be something, quite a document. That's good.
I mean, it's a formal formal act by this governing body to an entity.
Just
try and keep it one page.
Yes.
Yes. It's always more effective, I think.
Okay, one page. I think we usually, we always pretty much do that.
Yeah. I just like the pattern.
Yep. Okay, got it. We'll be back in the very near term. Some drafts.
Moved and seconded. You want to wait and read the letter?
Well, we've added a lot of stuff, so I'd like to read it.
I can withdraw the motion.
Yeah, let's withdraw it. Let's see the letter.
Okay. See the draft of it.
Okay.
Great. Then let's move on to item four.
Item four. Next week on the 19th at 9 a.m., the board's going to be considering an application for an exploration permit from AMR, American Mineral Research, local company. And we're not going to talk today by design about the substance of the application. That's all going to be reserved for the formal proceeding ahead. But working with Annette, we wanted to at least get the board familiarized with how this is going to look when you get in there. And so we produced the draft agenda here. Here it is, order of procedure, we're calling it. And it should look pretty familiar. It's not going to be something that requires a land use hearing type of format per se, but this does, in my estimation, follows generally what we're looking at here. So I'll give everyone a chance to review that, and then I've got a couple more administrative points that I want to go ahead and highlight. I think everyone probably had a chance to look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with the format. I was curious the status of the consultant.
Status of the consultant? Okay, so I reached out to a consultant that the county had used in past years, left more than one voice message, and unfortunately was not didn't get an answer on that. So I reached out as far as Tucson, Arizona, to a pretty respected consulting firm, as best I can tell, within the industry. And the president of that firm said that he doesn't tend to come in, his company doesn't come in until after the exploration period, after the minerals have been found. That's when he'll typically do a profitability analysis. Well, that's done before. But he's going to do what sounded to me like I say, a profitability analysis. So, anyway, I found gold. So, yeah, but are you going to be able to cover your expenses to get it out of the ground? And so, but he did know of a couple of semi-retired people who've been in the business that he had reached out to on our behalf, on the county's behalf, to see if they'd be interested in helping us out. So I... I took that lead and reached out to the individual in particular he'd said to contact, but sadly I haven't heard back yet, and so that's the best I've been able to do on the consultant.
Okay.
Less concerned about having a consultant at this particular moment in time than I would be as the county considers a long-term lease down the line. This exploration permit is for a 3-year period, and they do need to come back with a formal notice of discovery if they do, in fact, find valuable minerals there. And that's when the county does have the obligation to weigh some of the heavier questions, mm-hmm. right? In terms of, you know, royalties, in terms of is this going to be a profitable measure, or, you know, endeavor or not, that sort of thing. And so consultant would have been nice, but not, easier said than done, unfortunately, but I haven't let it go.
To anyone's recollection, Pat, has the county ever done this before?
Which part?
Allowing exploratory mining on county property?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes? Yeah, we found
a few.
In fact,
on that specific piece of property, mm-hmm. Cambria out of Canada went in there and drilled that whole property and said, thanks, but no thanks.
Okay. Just curious if we were breaking new ground or if we'd been here before.
They're going to start in a different place, so it's new ground. I'm just kidding.
These are all not mining jokes. It just happened to come out that way.
What Commissioner Fowler is touching on, though, is really important for the board to weigh. So this would be a departure from a self kind of imposed policy that the board of the 2007 era, thereabouts, adopted, which was to just not allow for, not to approve exploratory actions on county property.
Oh.
And so it hasn't happened in a long time, and that was deliberately decided by the board.
It's still enacted?
It's just a decision that they made. I didn't find an ordinance. There's no ordinance.
No ordinance, right. It's just a resolution.
But, an application came down the line around that time, and the board said, we're not going to entertain applications.
Okay.
Come see us in the future. And so this is the future, but that would be a departure. So.
But any reason given?
Yeah.
I'm sure there was something.
Yes, yes.
But...
Well...
Or you could bring it to the...
I don't want to get into the substance right now, actually.
Yeah,
let's
gotcha.
Not. Okay? Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting
But these
down.
Are absolutely valid questions for when you actually start the...
Right.
But there's... As the market changes, what wasn't profitable 25 years ago, when the... Like, I'll use gold. Say gold was... $30 an ounce back then, and it's $3,000 an ounce now. It's, you know, you can have a far less amount of gold and a larger bunch of rock, and it's worth mining now. So, I can't say, yeah, they're going to poke a hole in the ground and come up with the same results that somebody else did 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and come up with the exact same results.
Right.
So, yeah, and when you get in here, you know, that's exactly the sort of inquiry that would be appropriate for next week's. Proceeding, gotcha. And you'll have two opportunities really to directly engage. I mean, it's your meeting, so you can definitely want.
But this deal here doesn't go.
The board
thanks
twice,
for the freedom so and the response.
This doesn't go any farther than exploration.
Nope.
That's it. So they find something, that's it.
Yes.
There is another step. They can't say, well, yeah, we're going to start mining it tomorrow because you gave us permission.
It's an exploration permit.
Exploration.
Okay. But I'll be there to help navigate the legal. Avenues and Dave is, I don't think, able to escape, so he's going to have to be there as the mining administrator. And the applicant is absolutely going to be there. They've got a formal presentation. I've suggested, I had no guidance to do this. He asked how long. I said, I don't know, 15 minutes. And he did send in a series of slides. So we've got 15 minutes there. It's not up to me or him, it's up to you when you get in there. You can tell him to. You've heard enough at any point, or you can hear out.
So it's not by statute.
15 minutes of show and tell, and then the staff report, and then
questions. Right.
Gotcha.
Okay, wanted to cover a very important point before. I know we're dwelling on this, but we do have to cover the topic of exhibits that come in, both along the way before we get there and during the proceeding itself. And then, as this indicates, well, this doesn't indicate, but I did tell the applicant that it's at the board's discretion if you wanted to set it over for another date certain to allow somebody to submit more evidence,
right?
You know, just like a land use kind of hearing. So we're going to have to get a consistent program for how exhibits are going to be accepted by the county, who specifically accepts them, how they get numbered and entered into the record. And so as we approach this proceeding, you know, now is the time to get everybody kind of lined up in terms of how the evidence is going to come in. And so what I wanted to recommend was that we do have exhibits coming in, at this point, probably to the board office. And Annette will...
What about forestry? Do you have all the staff?
Well, that's the other option. And so Annette has collected what I consider to be the documentation that we have so far.
Wendy.
Yeah,
okay.
Working with Wendy in board office.
I'm just trying to think of how we don't get it accidental. I mean,
I know.
That step of level of... If it was a land use, it would be community development.
Lately, it has been. That's how it's been played out. But people send stuff to the board office.
Yeah.
Without your knowledge, fortunately, I assume, but they do. But I would say for this, you have those two options, either board office, office manager, or forestry. Office manager currently has the exhibits that I would see you receiving your packet at this point.
So that's your recommendation? Do you think that makes the most sense?
I think it would in this case. I think it is. Yeah, it would. I do anticipate other exhibits coming in between now, between even today, and the hearing itself. And so as the hearing kind of kicks off...
When you say exhibits, like the whole packet is exhibit one?
No.
What are you talking about?
The various components.
Each individual is an exhibit. Okay.
Not every page. But yeah, each document that comes... I mean, you know, each document that comes in would be labeled as an exhibit. Exhibit one, two, three, four... along
and
those lines.
Time and date stamp of when it's received.
Yes, yes.
Do we need to put deadlines on when that's received? Do you keep the record open until the hearing, or do you...
Can they bring it to the hearing?
All the above, so...
Yeah. You also mentioned we could hold it over for 2 weeks, 30 days, or whatever for a public comment period now that it's like out there to the public's consumption.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At which time exhibits would inevitably come in during that gap period.
Right.
But coming to where, right? Board's office probably, but it's got to be consistent.
Well, just say, I'd say the board's office, and then so it's all collected one,
same thing.
One place.
Yeah. But we've only done one land use here in the last couple of years, and we need to make sure we're...
Well, and it's an opportunity to set a policy for going forward.
It is.
Of how to navigate these and how to process them.
Yes, yes.
Right.
All right, so, all right, well, that's what I think we do. And kind of one of the first... the first actions as we get in here, I guess I didn't put it on the agenda, but it will be for somebody, either myself or Dave, probably either myself or Dave, to walk you through the exhibits that have come in within your packet so that you'll be conversant in how to reference these
documents. You do that at the hearing, right?
Yeah, that'll be one of the first orders of business once we get in there to explain what's in the packet. Packet is also going, to the extent we're able to provide it, to the applicant himself.
Does that come in before the applicant then or during the staff report?
Applicants
should have their 15 minutes, and then the evidence comes in.
Well, so you're going to have
your exhibits come in during the staff report.
No, you're going to have your packet in advance of the hearing. We're not going to hand it to you when you get in there that morning. It's going to come in advance of that, and also the applicant will have a copy of the packet as well. So entering, I suppose what I'm saying is, one of the first orders of business is we're going to go ahead and enter the packet, the board packet. Into the record, and the exhibit numbers will be designated.
Are we allowed to see the board packet with all the evidence, with all the exhibits in it ahead of time?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Well, it seemed like there was a certain amount of secrecy that, you know, we're going to give it to Annette, but you haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet.
No,
we haven't seen it.
Tomorrow. There's our answer. Excellent.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you'll see it. The applicant will see it. No one's going to talk about it until you actually get into the hearing. Okay. Yes?
I have a question on that. So the packets are going to be distributed tomorrow. So if exhibits come in after that, up until that the day of the hearing, then we just hand out copies to the parties as they come in?
Yeah, let's do it that way.
All right.
Let's do it that way.
Leave a section in the notebook for exhibits and just hole punch everything you give to us so it just fits right in the notebook maybe.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And the true key to exhibits reception is really keeping them numbered.
Right. Date, evidence.
Exhibit A, page one.
The log. Yeah, so there's a definite process here. That, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's something that's got to be done.
Okay,
so
exhibit one.
Yep.
Because
When
you get to Z.
Oh.
Yeah, letters we found aren't working.
Okay,
right,
yeah.
So.
Don't
26 versus...
Quite a few more.
Yeah, been down that road. Okay, so... Appreciate everyone bearing with me. I know that wasn't the most riveting discussion, but we did have to do it.
It was riveting. Yep. American Airlines now departing on gate one.
There it is. Okay, that moves us into number five. A quick claim deed for Josephine County to Justin Burton for the purchase of county property on Leland Road, Wolf Creek, Oregon, from the fall of 2018 auction. Which probably means Helene.
It does. Quick claim deed to Justin Burton. This property has been under a land sale contract with all of the payments having been made. They are, it's not the end of the contract yet, but they are paying off the contract. And so with your signature of this deed, it will go over to the title company to sit in escrow until we get the payoff.
Pretty so, normal process, no surprises?
Correct.
Yeah. Commissioner Morgan?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Don't we normally not sign these off until it's done?
When we're in an escrow situation.
We haven't dealt with an escrow yet, I think, on a quit claim.
Actually, we have.
Okay.
We just signed an
auction one. We haven't had a lot of history with the payments. Yeah.
But more and more, that's the way these are going. With people.
When the person comes in to sign all their paperwork, it's nice to hand them the deed and it's already taken care of.
Pre-signed.
It actually happens at the title company. So yeah. This deed will go over to the title company and then it'll be held at the title company.
Right, held at the title company until they're satisfied with their satisfaction.
Exactly.
So then we don't hold it up.
Yes, we will want a motion on that one and the following one as well.
I'll make a motion that we sign the quit claim deed for Justin Burton for the purchase of county property on Leland Road at Wolf Creek, Oregon.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Okay. And the second quick claim. This is the one to be signed. It is the original. So pass that around. Okay. The second one is number 6 on our agenda. Quick claim deed for Josephine County to Danielle Morvan for purchase of county property at 7902 Tequilma Road, Cape Junction, Oregon, from the fall of 2019 auction.
So this one's more recent, from just the November auction. And same situation where there's an escrow company that's going to be handling the final close. With your approval and your signature of deed, that'll go over to the escrow company and will be held in escrow until the final payoff is received.
Okay. Any questions on this one?
I make a motion that we create a quick claim deed for Danielle Morvan for 7902 Tequila Road.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And aye. So that one's 3-0 as well. And the motion carries.
Thank you.
I need to sign that first.
Yeah.
Okay, item 7 is draft request for qualifications for fire consulting services.
And you want to walk us through maybe?
Based on the comments from last week, we revised the RFQ, and it's in the packet. I don't know if we have any. There is.
I don't think we should do less than a month out in order to give time for responses.
Sure.
Yeah, that March 3rd.
Unless you have a different recommendation, but that would be...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, there was a memorandum that Wally drafted for systems of fire coverage in unprotected areas, and that entire memo with all of the attachments will be in the RFQ. We just didn't print it all for you.
And Exhibit E is new?
Yes, and Exhibit E is are the bullet points that they had, which I put as sample development process.
Yes, direct kind of feedback. It's trying to capture the vision of the fire committee.
Yes.
That they had presented within their draft, so it's kind of been moved into that section.
Into an attachment.
Right. Which I appreciate.
Yeah. I think our bidders would probably recognize that a little faster.
A little.
Than
trying to integral all this stuff into the request. Yeah. Or internalize it all, I guess. One of those I words.
Integrate.
That might work too. I knew it was an I something. Any comments or questions on this one?
No, I like that Exhibit E to bring in the that's good, all the points of the committee. So I think it'll work. Is this on tomorrow's agenda or next week?
Well, I don't know.
Or does
it
have to
take public comment? I mean, probably.
Can we go out for a bid without?
Yeah.
I think that the sooner we get it out, the sooner we can get response.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the public wants to hear it.
Besides, but it's not on tomorrow's agenda.
No.
So the soonest would be...
Yeah, the meeting doesn't start till 5:30.
Oh, we could notice it.
I know. She was hoping I wouldn't say that. She
was hoping. I would, if
did
we
you
can,
hear that?
If there were a way to get it on tomorrow night's agenda for the sake of getting it done so we can bid it or put it out for response. Not bid it. Let's see. So tomorrow...
Well, yeah.
Put out the publish. Request. Yeah, publish.
And then responses back by Friday the 13th of March. That gives 4 weeks. Or Monday the 16th, whichever is preferred. If we can get it on tomorrow night's agenda, that would get us... If we approve tomorrow night, get it signed on the 13th, it can be published on the 14th, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks... That's the soonest we can get responses back, if that's possible.
Would be the 13th then? Cutoff date is March 13th?
I would say publish on the 14th, because we have to sign it, right?
Publish in the courier?
No, I mean that's like...
Oh, just send it out.
Send it out to the...
In order for us to publish it, to publish the, a notice in the paper that there's a, where, that there's a bid to bid on, or an RFQ, we have to give 3 days... lead time for the courier to get it out. But if we're just going to put it on the internet, we could do that on our website. We could do that.
I think we should. Yeah. So then the 17th with a deadline of the 16th, but if we can publish electronically on the 14th to
Head Start.
All those organizations that do that, we can reach out to AOC and LOC and all those ones and get it out to the...
Gosh, if we had a website, publicnotice.gov, we could do that right now.
Don't they? I don't know. I think there is. But, I mean, and then, but that would give enough time for Monday's paper.
There doesn't have to be in the paper.
Okay.
Yeah, it does have to be.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave that impression that it had to be.
Just a thought.
I don't know if that would be
with
money
a press
well
spent, release, frankly, with the press release, with sending out to...
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's really any qualified fire... I don't know how many qualified fire consultants read the Daily Courier. This is a national...
Yes.
Yeah. There may be a lot. Don't know. But
does NACO have a resource to help distribute the RFQ?
I don't know. Worth
sending.
That might be a idea.
It's not a bad idea.
They have a resource for it.
Okay. We will scour the earth for the best.
Right.
Best.
But to get the 4 week back, this, that would be great.
Let's do the English speaking countries.
Okay. So
we don't really want to get any response from Australia about this time of year. They're not doing so well.
No. Those guys are all dirty and busy right now.
Golly. It's their summer, but what were you saying?
Okay, so the due date for the RFQs will be on March 13th or 16th.
Well, if we're
to have them back.
If you send them out the... well, why don't you just say the 16th either way?
Okay. Yep. March 16th.
That gives you virtually 30 days.
An additional weekend, which contractors might appreciate.
Might be the deal.
Yeah.
Put it in the mail on Friday. Everybody always sends out stuff so you get
it
on Friday.
Fancy with it.
And sent out. Post and sent.
Okay. Sounds like
and
we got a pass forward.
We might need to get chocolate for Wendy to say thank you.
Yes.
So, well, like, do you have exhibit D ready? Like, before
we will.
Today?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Good. Sounds good. We've got more to do in Cape Junction tomorrow. Okay, any reason not to move into executive session? All right, today is Tuesday, February 11th, 2020 at 2 p.m. or 2:48 in the Josephine County Board of Commissioners. We're now going to meet in executive session for the following agenda item. It is Josephine County versus Lojerky Incorporated, DBA Junction Inn. Case number 1NCV54479, ORS 192.6602H. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members audience are asked to leave the room. No electronic devices shall be used for recording during this time. Approved representatives of the news media are Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:49. All right, we're back. Take care.
Thank you.
3:01, and we're back in session. We did receive an update on the Junction Inn. Item 9 is additional matters from commissioners or legal counsel.
Oh,
there's a few changes to the CJ MOU that weren't substantive. They were just adding some structure in there to make sure it was clear to the potential applicants for the grant matching and so on.
Good.
Correct. So King Junction City Council approved the MOU last night. So you're going into the meeting tomorrow with the draft as they have returned it. This red line is being offered to you here to review. You can see the changes are minimal.
Yep. And I would add that they already voted it in.
They did.
They approved it at last night's City Council meeting.
Yeah, yep. King Junction. Yep,
City Council. Unanimously, as a matter of fact.
Good. So.
And by the way, they appointed Tina Jones to be on the council and fulfill the end of Lindsay Jones' term, so they barely have to change the plaque from Jones to Jones.
Can we... I know we're going to have public comment. We'll have a comment from one of the citizens out there that brought it up that, gee, you sold our community building out here and you took all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a printout from, I guess, probably Arthur to find out where?
There's one in my office.
What did we get and where did it go?
What did we spend? Because we already put $62,000 out for the park matching grant for the spray grant
from
Jubilee. And so that was taken off the top and now it's down to...
Spray? It wasn't the baseball field?
No, it might have been.
Moving the lighting in the field.
Moving the lighting in the fence at Jubilee.
$50,000 was supposed to be the amount.
Right.
And if there was 62. Still ended up at 62 for something. So maybe Arthur can clarify that.
Okay.
I didn't know whether it seemed to me that once upon a time we had talked about $100,000 to go to fire suppression at Ivy Airport out of that, but I don't know if that ever did because we were talking about a lot of things back there with high-speed internet and stuff. I'd like a breakdown. Was that on your breakdown at all?
It was not, but let's see the final one from Arthur.
Let's just find out what it is, because I think we're going to get questions.
Since I don't have it sitting in front of me, I already
from the public.
Went over my
I'd
skis.
I'd like to have a response to that.
Mm-hmm. That'll be very important.
Yeah? Further questions, comments?
Earlier, after you had to go to your other meeting, I brought up that this is... We've heard from a couple department heads that they are looking for space out in the Illinois Valley for providing services to South County. I think we should have a remote office. I think it would be ideal if we had a building in the center of town that we could have general meeting locations and office spaces. But I think, would it be possible to ask Helene to be looking for some space that could provide a meeting venue and county office spaces.
Well, and we could have the city council also, the mayor and the staff out there offer any suggestions to tomorrow night's little workshop.
Be happy to do that, but it has been on my mind for a while, and a couple of things come to mind of a couple of the buildings that are open out there. Would they be appropriate? Mm-hmm. And I think it is definitely a need. I think that based on the information we had at the time, we made the best decision that we thought we could at the time. And there's always getting more information after the fact that makes you go, wish I could have, would have. But at the time, we were not doing something that we thought would be not in the best interest, or not helping or putting us in a situation. But it is still a need now. So I think we should continue to look at it.
Well, I think there's an opportunity to... try and find out all the stakeholders, to use a government word, that might want to go out there, whether veterans already has a place, and if we could get some sort of shared space, a couple days for planning, a couple days for health, and totally utilize the space to its maximum. So.
I always get real, people say, oh, you should have done this, should have done that, but that structure out there was starting to become in need of a lot of things. Maintenance-wise, and so you're taking, how much money do you take of everybody's tax money and funnel it into Cave Junction, just like right now we're talking with Wolf Creek How much money do we take from the West County and funnel it into Network Creek Sunny Valley?
Yes.
So,
you know, so I don't know. You know, I mean, we've got to be really careful that we're not getting away and putting something back into the tax rolls and divert and avoiding all that, you know, that planned maintenance that should have gone on with that building, deferred maintenance that went on with that building, and starting all over again because we're getting a dozen people that say, you need to provide us with a meeting spot when they could go to the fire hall, for instance, has a really nice meeting room.
Yes.
I think there are other places out there. We've used, for the bigger events, we've used the high school cafeteria. There's a lot of places out there, I think, that I think they're overlooking. I just hesitate for us as a county to provide a place for somebody to have their meeting.
So the meeting space would be an opportunity to see if it could be shared space. But to me, I want to make sure that we're looking at the best intent of services to the community.
Right, right.
So
if we've got
building
a shared
planning,
out there,
building safety and planning can do some workshops out there, not workshops, but services out there a couple days a week that saves people from coming all the way into town. Mm-hmm. Public health, WIC, goes out there a couple times a week already. They're renting space. It may be that we share space, but if this department's running over here, this department's running over there, are we getting the biggest bang for our buck? Mm-hmm. So I would just like us to evaluate
That's
and
good.
Be intentional.
Good idea.
What about remote, I don't know what happened to my mouth today, court appearances.
Got hair rolled
that was out. Talked about. That was talked about in the past.
Yeah. There, I had followed up with our trial court administrator about when Judge Bain and us were talking about options with that, and it comes down to them having to be able to provide access to legal counsel, defendants having access to their legal counsel in a secure private way, and so they hadn't worked out all the logistics or having a location that could happen, but it would very easily happen that we could provide a space and say, okay, legal counsel, you may meet with your clients via remote in these ways, and then you come over here and meet for court in this way, but there may be a cost involved to the infrastructure of camera and TV and privacy.
Well, and I always think of the city council chamber because it's only used a couple times a week. Is there a room for a courtroom in there, you know, for one day a week, and we could improve the audio visual or the cameras or whatever?
Well, they certainly weren't sending a judge out there because that's it started with Councillor Mark and I talking about what if a circuit court judge could ride the circuit and go out to Cave Junction, you know, that kind of thing. And but then it was the remote question, and it's like, okay, where did that go after that? So it might be worth asking in our next LIPSIC if we could keep having a conversation about that, because that's where it stemmed from. And trying
because
to,
they do remote with the jail, right?
They do.
So digitally is possible and
it is
precedented. So,
but they
may not even have to send the judge and have the whole security bit and all that too. So,
yeah, if there's a way to do it through cameras that can reach their network, but the last I heard was the barrier of needing to make sure they provide a lawful access to legal counsel.
Sure.
And so that
sure
their due
some
process
barriers.
Is done.
Yeah.
But still worth
we'll
asking.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And so that'll be the next.
Cool.
Just a follow up on that. Yeah.
Well, and then.
Oh, trying to reduce failure to appears. That was.
That was yeah. Right.
The next
the main
of
gist. And Dan, you mentioned the Sunny Valley property, and I just want to make sure it's back on our radar before that deadline or anything. And I don't know if we should talk about it today. But I just wanted to throw it down out there. So,
I actually had a meeting right before lunch with Marta and Alec from the governor's office and brought up
Regional Solutions.
Regional Solutions Business Oregon.
Right.
They had some recommendations and some thoughts. And I recommended that she suggested she might put a one-page suggestion together for us but some ideas of some things that can be done. And I said, well, we should be mindful of it this month so we have time to do that, but I want to be mindful of I borrowed the file from legal counsel, and there's a picture of the original stagecoach outside that building. Property management file, that was a stagecoach stop originally.
Wow.
And I think even bigger picture for the community, not just individuals in the community or a group, but there's a bigger picture that we maybe might want to pause and take a look at.
Okay.
But I don't want to do anything until we've had a chance to see. So Marta was going to get something back.
I
recommended she refer to you because you're the liaison to their...
Right.
Their stuff. So I recommended she come back to you.
And I just want to make sure we deal with it whether we decide to pull it off the auction or not.
Yep.
That decision is still looming.
Auction's March 18th, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So I told her that we would be needing to kind of have an idea of, is there something else we should be considering before the end of the month?
In the February. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure it doesn't fall.
Yep. I know they... I don't see a sense of community. I see a dozen people that live out there that found they you know, hooked themselves to the covered bridge and their organization and so on and so forth. But I don't know if where you've got an actual community. I mean, it's not
if the whole community's in support of it. Yeah,
yeah. There's not a density out there, and I don't know what it's a pretty good sized building. In other words, another thing I would like to see, and maybe we can put Ryan on this, is what would it cost if you had to go in there and roof it? Fix the corner where it burned off at one time,
the state of the maintenance.
Huh?
The state of the maintenance.
Yeah, see, a lot of state of maintenance, because at some point in time, you know, you say private entity could take it and deal with it. But what we have to do to go in there and deal with it, bring it up to stuff, it starts running up to...
So they had a couple ideas today that I think you guys would find interesting.
This is Marta and...
Marta and Alex. And Alex and I would say I want to give them a chance to put it on paper to get back to you and have you guys bring it forth, because I would like it to be viable. I'd like it to be something we could actually do, and versus just, I mean, today was kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what ideas maybe stuck, but as we're looking at those options, is there
all
something
carbs, I don't eat that stuff. It's
oh, I'm carbs. Sorry, it was
I'm teasing, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I left the meeting actually really excited about, I mean, we were talking scope of the whole county of potentials of options and from sewer to motels to all this other kind of stuff and just workforce housing and just lots of ideas of what could we do in our county to increase the economy and the viability of the community and the county as a whole. And this was one of the topics that came up, and there was a couple things that came out of it that I would like to give her a chance to look at and bring back so that if it's, we have the time. But I think you'd like it.
Good.
And at the same time, can we get a report from...
Yes, yeah, I like that too.
Let's get a report from facilities to see what...
If you know how to get a hold of them.
Ryan?
But let's pick the liaison.
I can do that.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
He can put a list together.
Okay, you're going to contact Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else we want to cover here?
I think it'd be a good nexus for Helene to have a connection with Marta and Alex as well, with the Business Oregon and Regional Solutions. I gave them her desk number, but I wanted to bring it to you guys because... I think it would just have an extra set of eyes on some of the things that we're doing in the planning. We talked Dimmick properties. We talked some of those other projects. Mm-hmm. And just kind of thinking bigger picture of...
Yeah.
Ideas.
The future movements.
Yes. Ideas and opportunities. So.
Yeah. That discussion's coming up as well, isn't it?
Did you guys need an official go-ahead tomorrow night, or are we okay? Okay.
Yeah.
It's on the agenda.
It's going on the agenda.
Substantive changes, right?
There you go. Yeah, we ran an additional red line, and those are the changes.
Great.
So,
question.
We really liked that draft.
Good.
At one point, before we got to the point that the group fire committee referred the RFQ to us, they had asked about doing a status update with the commissioners, if, you know, like a quarterly report or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd asked how they do that. I got an email Saturday asking, they said, let's see, Would we entertain receiving a status report from the Fire Protection Committee if they wanted to do a report at this time?
Not on Saturday. I'm busy.
No, they asked on Saturday. They would want to do it. My response was that it'd probably be a Tuesday or Thursday morning meeting, a general discussion kind of report kind of thing, if you like.
To further that idea, I'd like the board to consider getting some reports from the chairs, whether that's once a year or if we have 12 committees once a month. I don't know what it looks like yet, but I want to give them a chance to come talk about what they worked on last year, what their goals are for next year, how the committee's going, is the makeup right, all those things, and give some respect to the chairs and let them come in and tell us how it's going.
It's not a bad idea at all. I think it goes back to that we ask them to do an annual report. Well, what are we asking in the annual report? What are we looking for in the annual report?
Most of them are boilerplating what they said in last year and changing the date, to be honest.
But I think
we could
change the effectiveness.
I think what you're talking about is something very similar to what we did at the beginning of goal setting.
Yeah, your idea, if I remember
with the
right.
The city. That, you know, they come in and tell us, you know, they were really excited about that because it kind of gave a firsthand opportunity for the committees to say, this is what we like to work on in the upcoming year. This is what's near and dear to our heart.
And especially on committees that I'm not liaison to. I'd love to meet the chair and have an update.
What I didn't know on this committee, though, it's an ad hoc committee, which means it's
or
for
a task
this.
Force almost.
And the first meeting, we said we wanted outside consultant to do with the RFQ. They've now submitted that. Their role at this point is to receive the responses, do the grading for what's in the thing, and then be a stakeholder when the consultant comes through and talks. So as far as the role of this group, it's about done.
Right.
So if they'd like to do a report, it's at your discretion. And
let's do a report, and then they can do a final when they finish it off.
I don't think it's them to do the final. It's the contractor.
Right, but we'd still want some representation, even when the contractor presented, to
help
fill in the gaps, like when we bring in the chair from the fairgrounds.
Well, but again, different role.
Different role.
Those are annual committees versus a for this purpose is what ad hoc means. And that's what the order assigned was, an ad hoc committee for this purpose.
Right.
Okay.
But, yeah, if they're filling a groundswell of stuff they got to tell us, I don't want to stop them.
No.
Yep.
We'll get them scheduled.
Yep. Anything else under other? Almost all those touched with legal, I'd add.
Yeah.
We're following some of the rules. Annette?
Curry County would like to meet with the board.
Recommendations.
Even without the Army Corps of Engineers with Steve Byerlin. They said in March would be fine, Thursday or Fridays. If the board would like any schedule for the 12th in the afternoon.
So who would like to do that, Curry?
Curry.
And Jackson is still not wanting to attend?
I haven't heard anything from Jackson. This is
radio
from
silence.
Curry County.
Gosh, they're not
good. Yes, Commissioner Morgan.
Amy Amerine from Senator Merkley's office has been in touch regarding the Coles Fish Hatchery and that essentially, Army Corps of Engineers wants to see what the president's budget is to see where their budget is before they give us kind of a... gave us a form that we as commissioners can fill in asking for advocacy for funding for a line item. So in this case, it would be the repairs at Coles Fish Hatchery would be the line item.
Right.
We then would say, we do want this advocated for with our senators and our representatives and have a form that we can fill out asking
for that.
Doesn't
sound like there's any drawbacks to that.
But we wanted, I was sent the form a couple weeks ago when I was having IT issues with forms getting through.
Oh, yeah.
We were since asked to wait till the president's budget came out. So as soon as that comes out, I'd like to bring that back if you guys would bless us. I know it's related to these guys. Because Army
before
Corps,
the 18th?
Well, Army Corps of, I don't know. Right. I don't know when it'll be out. But Army Corps of Engineers basically sent us an email saying they don't think they'd have anything ready for us until summer. Late spring, early summer, and Curry keeps emailing. I'm either getting direct emails from Commissioner Boyce or you are too, and saying, hey, when are we meeting again? Well, if the other agency is saying we're not available, in the meantime, Senator Merkley's office is saying, here's something you can do, but please wait for this point. And
well, are you sharing the form idea with your cohorts over in Curry?
She sent it with to both of us.
Okay.
And so we're all in the email loop. Court, Amy, and I are in that email loop. So as soon as I have that, I'll bring it back. I had one more. Did I bring up the cell tower letter today? Oh, yeah. I was going to bring you back the letter. So I clarified with Congressman DeFazio's office that we're not supporting an individual business. But what we are asking is support the concept of access to phone coverage between here and the coast for emergency services and radio. Just that there's a need, a community need, for access to phones between here and the coast. And that's all that we've all kind of received messages from. I can't remember the guy's name. Tom something or other. He'd put in a permit request, and we were all like, wait, we're not getting involved in your business plan here. But when I clarified with him, he's not asking for that. He's asking for us just to be willing to state there's a need for communication between here and the coast. And nobody has towers. You lose, you've got dead spots in different areas. So I believe that is emergency services need, sure. Community need. So with your blessing, I'll get a letter formed in. Or
sounds like another
see if you guys have a problem or okay with
it. Fishery discussion.
Sure, we do.
Okay.
Two things. Couldn't we talk about that with those commissioners if we did meet eventually and combo the coal?
Interestingly, Del Norte has already submitted them. But so Del Norte being the closest neighbor, they've already submitted. And Illinois Valley Fire Department has also submitted.
Oh, good.
So they're asking us to also.
Okay. So no meeting for coal for now, or do we want to get together and talk? And I'm not sure how far we'd go.
I don't know
what they want to present, so I guess I'd be open to seeing what they wanted to present.
I kind of said, hey, we'll be the conveners if you guys want to set the agenda. And I haven't seen an agenda yet. Because they seem to have their ideas of subject matter to be discussed, and we're struggling for the subject matter on our.
Well, I don't want that to die because
no, not that either.
I just don't know. I didn't get an answer when I asked. Is there a shelf life on coal fish hatchery?
Right.
When you build something like Altisrop, you
Grand
make a major improvement to an airport. You have a certain amount of stuff you need, guidelines. You have to do something with that for instance.
So I would hold off on the Jackson or the Curry County meeting. Well, I didn't mean to stop you. Were you done?
They have a shelf life for that facility. So did that shelf life, they really gung-ho for the first 20 years, and all of a sudden they go, we don't have to keep putting pouring fish into that river. Was there a 20-year depreciation schedule on that fish hatchery that their mitigation plan for taking this fish out of the river and cutting off 30 miles of spawning beds, was their mitigation plan to have the hatchery as part of the mitigation plan and provide fish into that river for 20 years? By that time, it should have recovered, and there's no need for the hatchery anymore. I'm wondering if we keep pushing that we want the hatchery back up and running, and they're going to go, no, we're going to tear it all out. It's outlived its usefulness. We're not going to spend $12 million because it wasn't our mitigation plan in the first place. Our mitigation plan was 20 years. This is beyond 20 years, and we're done with it. Because they really did. If you look at the timeline, they used to go gung-ho putting fish in that river, and then all of a sudden, one day you go, we're not even worried about it anymore. Well, the screen's busted. So what?
But they should have a shelf life in mind over at the Army Corps, right?
I would read you an email?
Yeah.
I would think that somewhere there should be a mitigation plan that came along with the application to put that dam in.
Do we still need legal here? Is this one legal?
Probably not.
The
probably
portion not. That I am concerned
gonna,
about
someone's
is...
going to have to come back. Sorry.
Yep.
I have one lingering piece of administrative. These to be notarized.
That works. The piece where I think you fit in.
Thank you.
The piece where I think you fit in is that Jackson County's biggest concern is they do not want to do anything to hinder the existence of the dam in their community.
Right.
They want to protect that, period. And so...
It made me think along the same line I do. You know what? If it, you know, we'll just take the dam out.
So there was a question...
The core or Jackson?
Yeah. So,
the core.
That's their fear, is that if we raise too many questions, it's going to cause that to happen, and that can't be...
And, you know, they stopped Elk Creek. They stopped Elk Creek, and they've taken every other dam out. They want to take out Applegate and Lost Creek. That they got a pretty. I think that's a valid concern on Jackson County's part.
Tell you what, indications are it's a valid concern.
I'm just going to forward this email to you both that you guys can read through. The as of 1:30 yesterday, court is asking that five of us meet and go do a presentation to Jackson County, and he's saying
a plan.
Steve Byerlin gave some bullet points. Court's response is. I don't have a problem notifying the other four commissioners, just don't want any side letters disrupting a clear, wise path. I think our first priority is to develop a very strategic plan to go first to the Jackson County Board. How about Morgan, Byerlin, Boyce, two other names I can't say, make a 30-minute presentation as soon as possible to Jackson County Board. So this email came at 1:30 yesterday, but it's in response to Byerlin giving some points about U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and some stuff. So I'll just forward so you guys can read it at your thing as an FYI.
Do you think it would be difficult to find the shelf life, the expectation? There must be a plan somewhere in the whole government database.
If no maintenance, it's quicker. If there's maintenance, it's longer.
And I wonder what we're at.
Well, the Corps is going to have a number.
Right?
I would have to think, what kind of engineers are they?
And we didn't hear it at that first meeting we had with them. Uh-huh. And nobody asked, I guess, in their defense.
I asked about a shelf life. How long that thing
did you?
Yeah.
We did ask
get an
them.
Answer?
Did not get an answer.
Okay. Well, and every time we've asked...
There's a possibility that they're not interested in answering because they don't have a...
That's what they've sent to Annette saying early spring, late summer at this point. We've asked for very specifics, and so... go ahead and check out that email, and then we can bring it back to the next meeting or let Wally know what you want.
Maybe put it in court, to check out the shelf life question.
Well, that's in this email.
Oh, is it?
And,
okay.
And so his response is, why don't these five people go do a presentation to Jackson County to see if we can get... So if there's anything else, maybe route it to Wally, and we can make a plan of what we want to do, because... The biggest thing I want to be careful for is that we don't go down this path of litigation potentially.
Yeah. Right.
We all want the goal to be healthy.
Healthy river, healthy fish.
Yep. You know, it is worth also listening to Jackson County's concerns, if I may, because this could be actually a larger, they're looking at a larger picture maybe than we are. Yeah. It hadn't occurred to me until Commissioner Dion started talking about that. But
it's not an electric producing dam, though.
It has potential.
I don't know.
It's got the tubes in it to potentially, they put tubes in the bottom of it. I don't think there's any generation in it.
Huh.
I haven't seen a power station at all anywhere near to it.
Is Jackson County worried about flooding or something?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I think it could go back and say, well, you know what, the only way we're going to get the fish back in the river is just take that dam out. And open up 30 miles of spawning bed up above it again, just like it was before.
I just wonder the pros and cons.
Well, like I say, I mean, we're talking Applegate Dam isn't that old either. And boy, there's noise being made about pulling that one out. And they're both flood control. Mm-hmm. I mean, a huge flood control dam. Yeah. You know what we used to have here?
That's
with floods.
Mm-hmm.
Bad.
Yeah. All right.
I've lived through 55, 64, and 82, and 96.
Don't forget 97. Any other things to be covered in today's meeting?
Not for me.
Think we're good.
Okay, then let's end it here right at straight up, 3:30, bottom of the hour.